day.
This is Free Talk Live. We're launching into hour number two, and you can take control of the airwaves via the toll-free number, 800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. Ian here with you.
And Wade.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. You can join us online at freetalklive.com. The features on the site are for free, so enjoy those on us. Let's roll right into the phone calls and talk to Joe in New York. Joe, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Great. What's on your mind, Joe?
All right. I'm just following along. You guys were talking about FDR around that time and the Depression and the economy, and I hear you talking, and it's definitely more to the point I wanted to kind of hit on, is the actual adoption of what caused all those problems, which was pretty much the Keynesian economic theory of pretty much macroeconomics, and he kind of brought this theory out with his book, and it was adopted by the administrations, and basically Hayek's, you know, rode to serfdom, and his whole economic theory is kind of tossed aside at that point. And that book was the general theory of employment, interest, and money. And if you want to, for the libertarian-minded that wants to hear an argument about that, Hazlitt wrote a book ripping it apart page by page, pretty much, called The Failure of New Economics. You can get it on Mises' site. So I just wanted to bring
Hazlitt,
that up.
Hazlitt wrote a book ripping apart Keynesian economics?
Yes. It's called The Failure of New Economics.
Okay.
And you're saying that it was Keynesian economics that that FDR adopted?
Absolutely. That was at the same time, around that time. The book was written, I think, in 23, around that time. It was published around in 23. And, yeah, you can read all about it on, you know, obviously the Mises site with Hayek's story.
Now, isn't Keynesian economics what most colleges in America teach today? Isn't that the case?
Absolutely.
Yeah, the majority
it's
of
all
it.
All about...
Yeah, once in a while they'll talk about Milton Friedman, who is sort of in between Austrian and Keynesian.
Right.
In Chicago school?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good. Any other thoughts, Joe?
No, that was it. And then basically there's a good video that's available that I found out about it on Lou Rockwell. Actually, it was on Mises' site also.
That's LouRockwell.com and Mises.org for the uninitiated.
Sorry about that. And it's called Commanding Heights. It's a three-disc series, and it talks about all... it's three parts. One of them, the first one's called The Battle of Ideas, and that talks all about the history. From
now, is this stuff, these recommendations you're making, is this stuff consumable by the average Joe, or is this something that somebody who is more schooled in economics would be able to absorb?
I never, ever knew anything about this stuff before, like, 2 years ago, okay? I'm 30 years old, and I never, ever knew anything about this stuff. All I did was to open my mind and start to read it, so... anybody can consume this stuff, you know. I was an average DJ writing techno music before, you know.
So what was that video again?
It's called Commanding Heights. It was put together by a couple of different groups. PBS was one of them. It's definitely really good, I would say. Fit anybody down. It's well produced. It talks over a lot of different people. It's a really good video, and it really.
And I know they've got a lot of. I don't know if that class sounds like you said three discs, so it probably costs some money. But I know they've got a lot of.
$24.99 on Amazon.
I know they've got a lot of great free information and articles over at the Mises website, which is Mises.org. And do they
you
also
could spend
not,
it the next year reading Mises.org?
Probably could. Do they also not host Economics in One Lesson? Isn't that? That's been recommended to me, and I have not yet read it.
It is a great book. I read it. I actually listened to the audio book read by Jeff Reckenbach, who does Murray Rothbard's books also in audio form, so you can listen to them that way as well. I pick up a lot of good books that way.
I think Joe has actually spent the last 2 years reading Mises.org. Joe, thanks for the call, man. We really appreciate it. 800-259-9231. You know, it's not the most exciting and sexy of topics, economics, but damn, is it relevant.
The people that get turned on by it are really turned on by it, and it's such important information. It's information you can use every day.
That's right. It isn't just math. There is some mathematics in it, but a lot of it has to do with human behavior,
and
sociology, psychology, and that part of it I find very interesting. I did study economics quite a bit in college and graduate school.
You know, they teach so little economics in high school and so much math. What do you need math for? I'm not trying to be a jerk.
Unless you want to be an engineer or something.
Right.
Programmer.
I think everybody probably, you know, the smarter people certainly should know some algebra, some geometry, but... trigonometry, analytic geometry, calculus. What is the average person going to do with this stuff? I'm certainly not doing anything with it.
Well,
I learned it. I don't even remember any of those formulas now.
Yeah, there was a desire way back to keep America strong, quote unquote, to turn out a lot of engineers.
Well, they failed.
Well, in recent years they have, but in the old days they did. And those were prerequisites for going into college and studying engineering. So a lot more people did study engineering back then because you had industry here, you had a big demand for engineers in this country.
You know, if they would have taught me about compound interest and saved all the crap about sine, cosines, and tangents, I would have known a lot more.
You're right. Entrepreneurship is another thing. A lot of business schools...
That's nowhere to be found in government school.
No, but even if you go to college and you study business, you're studying economic theory, you're studying accounting, you're studying all these different things, and one of the most important things is how do you make money?
Right.
Well, how you identify trends.
They're teaching you how to be a part of the system.
Right. They don't care if you know, they don't want you to know entrepreneurship.
And it's simple, too, because all you're doing is finding an unmet need, then you're developing a business plan to create a win-win situation between you and your customers.
What you want to do is you want to ask yourself, what is it that you can do or provide? What service or product can you provide to the marketplace that people are going to want? And once you can answer that question for yourself and...
That's half of it there.
Yeah, you're there.
The other half is the paperwork and keeping things in order and
doing it at a good price.
Mm-hmm. Let's continue with the phone calls and talk to Tom in Wisconsin. Tom, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello.
Hey there. I just basically wanted to talk about the New Deal and FDR, and I'm wondering why you guys are so against what FDR did. He did so many great things for the country, brought us out of the Depression.
Well, why
is that? That's the government's version of the story.
That's right. The question you have to ask is, why did the Depression happen in the first place?
Well, you can say that's the government's version of the story, but my grandfather lived through that time, and he told me all the great things that FDR did, and I am liable to believe him.
And you know what? A lot of people really do. This is the hardest paradigm to break out of. You're born Methodist and Democrat, and you're
that's
never
right.
going to change.
I am Methodist and Democrat.
Yeah, well, I just picked a couple. But the likelihood of picking, you changing your denomination is you're more likely to change your denomination in Christianity than you are likely to change your political party. Most people will grow up to be whatever it was that their parents or grandparents were. If your grandfather said that FDR was great, the likelihood statistically of you breaking out of that paradigm and even looking at other facts and exploring the possibility that FDR in fact was a socialist and extended the Depression is very unlikely.
Well,
so
your grandfather.
My recommendation to you would be stick your head back in the sand like a arrested American.
Oh, stop it, Mark.
No, that's very true. That's why I'm actually calling you guys, because I want to explore all the different options, and you know, I don't want to just accept everything that's fed to me from my grandfather, my parents, from high school history class, and everything like that. So basically, I just want Mark to take off his shirt.
Thank you for the call. Certainly appreciate it. It's a great way to start exploring things. 1-800-259-9231, at least exploring the hairy chest of one Mark Edge.
It's not that hairy.
Why don't you pull off your shirt and we'll find out.
I think not.
You must be watching the webcam.
You can. You can go to cam.freetalklive.com and you can get a look-see here into the studio. But to address his issue about what Grandpa said, and this is a serious issue. A lot of people, Grandpa, he might have been a really good guy. He might have really known a lot about a lot of things. But the fact is, your Grandpa could have been fooled just like people are being fooled by the government today. Back then, the government had its apologists. Back then, the government had its cheerleaders. Then, the government had its people in the media controlling opinion. In fact, back then, media was far more, centralized than it is today. Today, we've got the internet, where anybody who wants to can go and start a blog and compete. Whereas back then, you had the newspapers, and in the 30s, radio? Television didn't even really exist at that point. So,
FDR was coming on the radio every once a week giving his little fireside chats.
Right.
So, the news
and he had charisma, too.
Yeah.
He did. So, but
you can't blame people for falling for it. You really can't.
Back then, you also had a lot of people who were members of unions, and the Democrats were very, very closely aligned with the unions. So anything the Democrats did, the union people were for.
It was just by default.
Default, yeah, exactly. So a lot of people would be behind their party, right or wrong, just like you see today with the Republicans, although it's starting to wane a little bit now.
Right, and that's something we're seeing a lot today is minds are easier to open now because of the fact that we have this information freedom that we didn't have before. We're able to do this show because of the internet now, and we're reaching people who never would have been reached by the message of freedom 20 years ago, or even 10 years ago necessarily. And that's all adding up, and it's making a difference in people's lives. This stuff wasn't possible in the early part of the 20th century, and so it's no surprise that many older people still have their minds shut like a trap because they learned what they learned and they're going to stick with it all the way till they die. More on the way. You can take control. This is Free Talk Live. DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronic, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com. Here's a good idea. When you have a legal matter like creating your will or legally setting up a business with a corporation or LLC, you don't necessarily need a law firm. Use LegalZoom.com. At LegalZoom.com, you answer straightforward questions online, and they take care of the rest. They even review your answers for common mistakes and guarantee your satisfaction. Free Talk Live listeners, you'll get 10% off your order by typing in FTL in the referral box at purchase. Don't procrastinate with these important legal documents. LegalZoom.com.
Gold, it's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Are you fed up with all the side effects of chemicals in your shampoos and detergents? Even fragrances can signal some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi folks, Alex Jones here. Why not go back to basics and be safe with Calbin Pure Soaps? They're all natural and you'll save some 85% the money you're spending for your cleaning products now. Marty Schachter founded Calbin Soap Company in 1947 and provided products for health institutions. Now, Calbin Soaps are available to you and me. Triple concentrated for all your cleaning needs, from bathing and laundry to dishes, hair, and more. No harsh chemicals, no animal testing. I use them and love them, knowing they're all natural and safe, and I save big time. Call Calbin Pure Soap at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or log on to 5starsoap.com now for a free catalog. Again, that number, 1-800-340-7091 or 5starsoap.com for all your cleaning needs.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few consumers even know such products exist. This technology is backed by hundreds of thousands of dollars of testing that the oil companies have run. Yet they don't want you to know about them. SFR, the leader in fuel products, has obtained this technology, and we are so convinced you'll notice the savings that we will give you, the loyal GCN listener, a bottle for free. SFR is not an injector cleaner or typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. Just pay a minimal shipping and handling charge. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll even refund the shipping charge. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-USE-SFR1. That's 1-888-873-7971 today.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and it's your show. You can bring up whatever you want. Toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. Join us online at freetalklive.com. The features on our website, we give away. So enjoy those on us. And again, freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project, your only choice for more personal freedom, smaller, less intrusive government. To learn more about joining the Second American Revolution, go to freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org.
800-259-9231. Let's go to the phones and talk to Kurt in Michigan on the Amplifier line. Hello, Kurt.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Great. What's up?
Hey, Kurt.
Well, I'd like to talk about gold. I called a little while ago, a couple of nights ago, and I was kind of flustered. I just had a whole bunch of ideas. I've kind of gotten them together now.
Okay.
So I called it to talk about gold as a hedge against inflation. As a little recap here, you got an advertiser, the International Speculator / D2Z.org,
mm-hmm.
that suggests in their ads investment in precious metal mining stocks as a protection against collapse if the dollar falls to a zero worth as a result of the government's insane fiscal policies.
Okay.
My question then, now more neatly organized, was, if you own stock in a company wherein the root value of that stock is denominated in U.S. dollars and the dollar falls to zero, would it matter then how much your stock is worth if the root unit is rendered worthless?
I think you must have missed Troy's call the other night.
Well, I did. Troy from D2Z.org, very nicely responded, and he replied that stocks that international speculator subscribers own are denominated in Canadian currency.
Right.
And that they could be liquidated prior to a hyperinflation. And you also mentioned that it should just be part of a well-balanced portfolio.
Yes.
Well, I've got 2 points and then 2 questions. My first point is, the economies of Canada and the U.S. are inexorably linked. Many of these countries' largest corporations are one and the same. So let's face it. The U.S. sniffles, Canada sneezes. The U.S. sneezes, Canada catches cold. The U.S. catches cold. Canada pneumonia, and if we catch pneumonia, well, I'd hate to think of what would happen to the best friend that an arrogant superpower could have.
I would totally agree with you. Now, let me hop in real quick. First off, you are talking to some amateur economists here, not professional mm-hmm. ones. So anything we say is, you know, just guys
right.
talking on the radio.
Well,
The evidence is, when you're talking about hyperinflation, the best example to use is the German mark prior to Hitler gaining power. You know, every day their mark went down, down, down. It didn't actually go to zero immediately. Pow! It was hyperinflated. You know, more and more marks were introduced into the marketplace, and therefore making them worth less and less. So,
right.
the stock market would attempt to keep up with the valuation of your stock by increasing. It's much easier for the stock market to increase the numbers, you know, as to the value of a stock, than it is for the government to throw bills into the marketplace. They have to print those. That's real world activity, as opposed to just computers.
Well, they can also increment numbers.
They do it with you know, with the Federal Reserve and the Fractional Reserve Lending. That's how they get new money in.
Right, they increment numbers in a computer somewhere, Mark. They don't necessarily have to turn on the printing.
They don't necessarily have to, but they do sometimes.
I'm kind of an amateur myself. I don't even have one college credit to me. Mm-hmm. But I believe that right now we're in a period of just prior to that hyperinflation. You know, the U.S. government has decreased tax receipts and at the same time has not only proceeded on a very expensive nation-building exercise, if you want to call nation destruction nation-building,
mm-hmm.
but has also made a prescription benefit obligation to the nation's seniors, the value of which has yet to be overtaken by 4 solid years of that war, plus all the graft and thievery therein. Add to that all the back-end costs, such as veterans' benefits, injury compensations, hospitalizations, as well as graft on those monies. I mean, we know that the monetary presses have just been turned on to print money for the insanity that guarantees the future hyperinflation.
Oh, I agree with you. And
Here's my questions. If the dollar drops to zero, how does having a well-balanced portfolio or having stocks in precious metal mining, both of which are denominated in fiat currencies that are intrinsically linked and will probably go down together, or having the options of liquidating those stocks for the fiat currency itself, protect me from the impending collapse?
I guess if you own a piece of a business, that you own pieces of its assets, and assets of a precious metal mining company are precious metals.
That's right.
But during a collapse, I'm sure they're not going to pass that out. I'm sure whoever's at the top is going to just walk away with it.
Well, you know,
realistically.
Well, you gave the scenario of if the dollar dropped to zero and all in one day. And I can't, you know, in that particular instance, there's you have a lot bigger problems than trying to recoup your assets from an investment.
Yeah, you still own shares, number of shares in a company, which may end up being traded out for a new currency down the road. But Canada actually is in much better shape than we are because they don't have the debt. They've got massive natural resources in that country, and their currency is more stable, even though it doesn't buy as much right now as the U.S. dollar in the dollar's present phase.
That's because they're not an interventionist.
Yes, exactly. They're not intervening as much.
Well, they're lesser interventionists.
Yes, but, you know, mining stocks are still the speculative part of your portfolio, and some of them have the potential down the road to be massively profitable, even more so than the tech stocks. But
again,
that's the speculative part.
They're denominated in what could be useless U.S. dollars.
Well, you know, that's a risk you have to take then, right? Well, I mean, it's speculation, right?
I'd load up on AK-47 rounds then.
See, now I've got one more question that kind of includes that.
Okay.
Isn't it better for me to just purchase commodities easily tradable in the event of catastrophic monetary collapse?
If that's what you're preparing for, yeah. But you also have to understand that this, you know, this monetary collapse may not come for another 100 years. I mean, who knows how long they can keep this stuff up for?
If the paper becomes worthless, I'll need something to trade. Precious metals seem to be a good choice, but if the sales of bullion are recorded for future governmental reclamation that could leave me with nothing, I would think that at this point the only precious metal would be lead, like the kind on the tips of ammunition. Not necessarily to fire, although I would for my own protection, but almost as a monetary, you know, staple as well.
I'm sure that you can get a hold of D2Z or the International Speculator.
Yeah,
and ask their these questions to them because, you know, we've given our best answers as radio talk show hosts. And if you have radio talk show questions, we will be darn good at those specifically.
I know you guys have the smartest audience out there.
I've
listened to you guys for over a year. I was hoping to throw it out there and maybe have someone chime in. I'm glad that Troy called back, you know, with some type of response. But anything I can get, you know. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate hearing from you, dude. 800-259-9231. In fact, the guy from the International Speculator is going to be on this show 1 week from today. So great time to get your questions in at that point.
I've heard a lot of great things about his newsletter as well.
As have I. And again, you know, we're not economic experts. And at the same time, it seems like Kurt's questions are centered around the idea of catastrophic monetary collapse. And I like what you said, Mark. You've got a lot more to worry about at that point, including how you're going to get food to your, you know,
your
mouth.
I would think in that particular instance that if you're talking about, you know, Armageddon hitting in, you know, real battlefield Earth situation, that even EMID gold in your hand, numismatics, collector's coins, silver that you can get like from Midas Resources, even having that, it might not be the most valuable trading commodity because a can of green beans might be, this might be the thing that the person's looking for.
Or toilet paper.
Who knows? And that's just something you have to deal with if that's something you're preparing for. And most people aren't.
No, certainly not.
I'm not. You're not. You know, most people aren't. And so if that's something you're preparing for, then you really need to think about what you want to have, you know, burrowed away in your basement for that scary, scary possible future.
5,000 rounds.
In the meantime, you probably should have a well-balanced portfolio in order to keep yourself afloat in the real world. This is Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Jan Levin, president of Purity Products. Against the better judgment of my managers and advisors, I've just authorized a nationwide giveaway of my ultra-pure omega-3 fish oil capsules. That's right, find out how you can get a free bottle when you call now. You know how important fish oil is, but not just for your heart. It has powerful benefits for wrinkled skin, stiff joints, even focus and concentration. That's why I've authorized a free bottle of our omega-3 fish oil to anyone who calls now. You'll also get a free book, The Best-Kept Secrets to Healthy Aging, with your free bottle. If you're even curious about what fish oil can do for you, let me send you a free bottle. I know you'll feel the difference. Our fish oil capsules have up to 3 times the power of ordinary fish oil, and they're mercury-free. Experience the miracle of fish oil. Try it before you buy it. Get a free bottle and a free book by calling 1-800-505-4987. 1-800-505-4987. That's 1-800-505-4987.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Hi, I'm Bobby Lajas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Picasso had his blue period. Rodriguez made it big with a blue dog. And Levi Strauss hit pay dirt with blue jeans. But when we come back, I'll tell you how a blue book can help you make some green.
Bobby Lajas here with car killer number 7 on my 10 most wanted list. What causes your engine to overheat? Usually it's corrosion and buildup in the cooling system. A BG cooling system service flushes that murky, discolored fluid, replacing it with premium coolant and conditioner. And it comes with a free protection plan. Remember, not all scheduled maintenance is the same, so go to bgfindashop.com to find a BG cooling system service now.
BG.
Trading in your car? Before you think green, think blue. Blue book, that is. Yes, how much a car is worth is found in Kelly's Blue Book. Available at traditional or online bookstores, the Blue Book lists values for specific makes and years, including add-ons for low mileage and subtractions for high. In addition, you'll find dollar amounts for extras like power windows, sunroofs, or air conditioning. Remember, Blue Book prices are average values, but if your car's in red-hot shape, you're in the green because it's worth even more. I'm Bobby Lajas. Lajas, you'll love us.
Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to royalpurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at Napa, O'Reilly's, your local high-performance center, and royalpurple.com today.
Are you tired of searching for Freak Talk Radio? Well, search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Freak Talk Live, and it's your show. You can bring up whatever you want toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line for you. It's Ian here with you.
And Wade.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. Join us online, freetalklive.com, the place to go. The bulletin board system is there. Over a quarter of a million posts. That's a lot of stuff to read. There's serious issues and fun stuff. You'll find it all for free at bbs.freetalklive.com. That's bbs.freetalklive.com. Now, last night, in the third hour of the show, we really dug into this whole concept, this rumored North American Union, the NAFTA superhighway, this supposed 4 football fields wide road that's going to run from Mexico all the way up to Canada. And, you know, it's going to be the harbinger of things to come as far as the North American Union, this concept of the three countries of Canada, Mexico, and the United States getting together and joining up and creating basically something similar to the EU, except the North American Union. And there's been a lot of concern about this out there in radio land and in just with regular Americans hearing rumors, which may not necessarily be backed up by facts. So last night we tried to sort of cover both sides of the issue. We tried to look at some of the things that one group is saying. The Nation magazine did a 5-page long expose on the conspiracy theories, on the little tidbits of fact that the conspiracy crowd has taken and sort of weaved together in order to get this North American Union concept. Of course, at the same time, some of these tidbits of fact are pretty ominous.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of, you know, they do seem to point in that direction, especially the Security and Prosperities Partnership, this SPP.gov, this they're right out in the open, the U.S. government, right out in the open, saying that they're meeting up and discussing these economic things with Canada and Mexico. Micromanagement stuff, like, you know, Canada has different size food bottles, baby bottles, like, the Gerber baby food. It comes in different size in Canada than it does in the United States, and the bureaucrats are meeting to try to iron those differences out. And
harmonize the laws.
Right, so, you know, they try to make it sound like, oh, well, this is no big deal. We're just dealing with bottles of baby food. But at the same time, to me, that is a big deal because, well, we're doing fine with our bottles of baby food here in the United States. The marketplace has done a fine job on its own of handling that. Why do we need the government stepping in and creating some sort of uniform code between all of these countries? So, again, there's some differing sides here. And, Mark, you say you've got an email that just debunks the whole National American Union thing, or North American
Union. I'm not entirely certain he debunks the whole thing, but he does take it from a point of view that we didn't bring up last night, which I think is very interesting.
Jump on in.
From Stephen, says, I don't know why so many of your callers bring up the North American Union. It's completely absurd. Right now, the Republicans and Democrats are tripping over themselves, talking about how they're going to keep the U.S. and Mexico nice and separate. Some of them even want to build a wall to do so. This is in response to the mass of xenophobes here in America who don't want anything to do with the brown people. How strong is the xenophobia? It's so strong that it is the one issue, the one and only issue, where Republicans in Congress refuse to go along with Bush. It is the one issue where they seriously feared for their reelection if they went with the president. But this is the very same government it is at the same time plotting to merge with Mexico. You can't have a wall and a superhighway occupying the same space at the same time. That's against the laws of physics. Xenophobia is a natural check against one-world government. The EU is not like the United States. The central government is very weak, and recent attempts to strengthen it, such as the proposed constitution of a few years back, were rejected. European states have hated each other for thousands of years and are all fiercely proud of their unique nationalities. And within each EU state are politicians who pander to this. They stand in opposition to the pro-EU parties who want to surrender more sovereignty.
But they've got it anyway.
I mean,
if what he's saying is true and that these European states hate each other, the people in those states hate each other, they've still got the EU anyway. Doesn't that debunk what his argument has said so far? That, well, because so many Americans hate Mexicans or hate immigrants, that'll stop the North American Union. It apparently didn't stop the EU.
Yeah, I don't think they hate each other. I just think there's some friendly competition between them.
Oh, the French and the French and English really don't like each other.
They take pride in their cultures, and they take pride in what it's like to live in their countries. But if they hate each other that badly, I think they'd be probably at war in the more recent past.
Well, also, Europe was... Now, for instance, California's economy is bigger than that of France, and France, I believe, is the seventh in the world. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
California is like the sixth economy in the world.
Yeah.
The United States doesn't need power in trade. Europe does need power in trade. They were motivated to... get together to some extent. The United States is not motivated to get together with anyone else. So
okay.
Europe had that particular impetus.
But a lot of people see a lot of parallels between this North American Union, or SPP, and what they did originally with the European Union, where they ended up with a common currency, because mm-hmm. in the beginning it was just about trade and facilitating trade and greasing the wheels to trade between the countries. And now it's become this massive... trading bloc, and basically, because they all have the same currency, it will eventually become one country.
I think,
or
to some extent,
territory.
You're probably right. And remember, that's what happened in the United States, too, I mean, to some extent.
And that may be all they'll do here. They may just simply introduce this new Amero currency as this... Ooh, look, it's pretty. It's got colors, Americans. Ooh, look.
Yeah.
And, you know, they may introduce this in order to sort of distract from the falling dollar, and that might just be the major factor to this North American Union. It may not be anything more obvious than that, necessarily.
It's also can be smoke and mirrors, in a sense, too, but if you're one of them, if you're one of the elite, you got to think the way they do, is that you have this Social Security Medicare train wreck coming in the next 10 to 20 years in America because of the demographics of Americans. You're going to have a majority of Americans over 60 years old in 20 or 30 years from now. So in Mexico, they have a younger demographic, as do they, I believe, in Canada. Now, Canada also has a lot of natural resources, and so is Mexico. So by combining the three into one, you can also put off the inevitable economic collapse farther in the future, for one.
More of the emailer stuff?
Stephen goes on, the idea that government consolidation is somehow inevitable is completely wrong. Some level of consolidation is to be expected. We aren't city-states anymore. But that consolidation eventually hits the brick wall of nationalism, tribalism, and xenophobia, and is all brought to a stop.
I think he's on to something. I hope he's right. But then again,
one of the things that I was going to say, a lot of people in America love people from Mexico. It's not about that. It's about retaining our identities. And also, what government are you going to have if you combine the three countries? It's a good way to just default on all the U.S. debt and reboot the whole North American continent into this new operating system, so to speak.
I don't think most of our politicians really care about our debt.
Oh, I think they do. I think they're starting to see it now. They care about it not blowing up while they're in office.
I think that that's probably true, but I don't think that they even think that it can. I mean, Keynesian economic theory basically says that they can continue to spend now and pay later and everything will be fine.
Well, how would this benefit the bankers? I mean, how would, let's follow the money on this idea of the North American Union, right?
Okay.
I mean, you've got the Federal Reserve that the people that are behind that organization are really the ones that are profiting from, and them and their friends, they're really the ones that are profiting from the increases in the money supply because they get to hand out the money before it loses value. To mm-hmm. whoever it is they want to. And so wouldn't it be more valuable to them to be able to hand out money to people in Canada and Mexico as well?
That's right, and you can get all these millions of Mexicans on credit cards and mortgages who right now have no money. Think about this. The poorest people in the world have no money. At least in America, we really have no assets, but we have stuff that we owe money on. So you could expand into Mexico, and if you're a bank, and make a lot of money because you can get all these Mexican people working in factories and get them on credit cards. And you can expand this whole debt bubble even further into a new direction.
I'm no central banker, but it would seem to me that this whole North American Union concept would benefit those guys.
Yes, I think so.
I don't know. I can't really imagine. There are right now. If I was Canada, I certainly wouldn't want the Amero based on the American dollar, the trading value of the American dollar, because. Well, my dollar's worth almost as much as the American dollar when a couple of years ago, it was my dollar was worth, an American dollar was $1.75 in Canadian dollars. So the Canadian dollar's doing really well right now.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'd want to trade Canadian dollars for
I don't think it
American
will be
dollar.
Your decision as a regular Canadian. It wouldn't really matter what you want. What matters is what the central bankers decide to do.
Why would the Canadian central bankers want to lose out on their
valuable
currency?
There must be some way for them all to work together.
Stephen goes on.
Here. All right, 800-259-9231. You can take control of the airwaves. Bring up what you want. This is Free Talk Live.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Are you comfortable every night in your bed? Do you look forward to another night of blissful slumber? Since I've been sleeping on my mattress from SavvyRest, I've had some of the best sleep of my life. My shoulders and ribs don't ache in the morning like they did from my old mattress, and my wife loves it too. SavvyRest mattresses are made of natural latex rubber, organic wool, and organic cotton, and they feel amazing. You sleep a third of your life, and you feel the results all day. The right mattress makes the difference. Go to SavvyRest.com and buy a latex mattress today. SavvyRest.com, for the sleep you've been dreaming of.
Looking for a new cooling system? Enjoy comfort this summer season with a new Carrier or Kenmore system from a name you can trust. With unbeatable pricing, year-round maintenance and repair, plus our satisfaction guarantee, it's time you called Sears at 1-800-241-0746 for a free in-home consultation. Ask about our special financing terms. A new, more efficient system can keep your family comfortable year-round and may help you save money on high energy costs. You can count on Sears for the quality materials and installation you have come to expect for over 100 years. Call now for your free in-home consultation. Offer ends 9/30/07, subject to applicant creditworthiness. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. Licensing information available upon request. Energy efficiency may vary depending on your home and climate. Call now for your new cooling system from Sears and ask about our special financing terms. Call 1-800-241-0746. That's 1-800-241-0746.
Oh, what a beautiful day for the beach. Look, up there in the sky. It's Nonex Man. He's in a dive.
He must have found some ugly toenails on the beach.
Let's go look.
I'm Nonex Man, and your toenails need Nonex Nail Gel. Stop hiding them in the sand. Take them out. Let's see.
Ooh. Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
Don't worry. Now there's Nonex Nail Gel. Use it on your toenails regularly, and they'll look fantastic when you're barefoot.
Oh, I will, Nonex Man.
Well, I'm off to find more ugly toenails. Don't let Nonex Man find you with unsightly toenails. Buy diabetic-friendly, money-back guaranteed Nonex Nail Gel. It's in the foot care aisle at Supercenters, Walgreens, CVS, Long's, Meijer, Giant Eagle, Car Drug, Snyder's, Duane Reade, Bilo, and Rite Aid.
Government is best, which governs least.
Wake up and smell the fascism.
Being in government means never having to say you're sorry.
What part of unconstitutional do you not understand, George?
In today's world full of tyranny and injustice, sometimes it seems the only thing we still have is our freedom of speech. Exercise your freedom of speech by purchasing your choice of hundreds of different Liberty stickers, from humorous to serious, at LibertyStickers.com. LibertyStickers.com can even customize your own bumper stickers. It's time to stand up for what you believe. Invest in your freedom. Get your stickers at LibertyStickers.com for your family, friends, and community. Go to LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626 and express your freedom of speech today. Call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You can bring up whatever you want. Toll free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Wade.
And Mark. That toll free number is 1-800-259-9231. Hopefully, we're wrapping up an email here shortly on this whole North American Union concept. And one of our listeners is saying, no way, not even possible, impossible. And I don't know. I mean, there's some conflicting opinions and conflicting evidence out there, and I don't know. I think it might be possible.
I don't know if he's right or not, but I think he brings interesting stuff to the table, and that's just all I want for my emailers and callers, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it shows that he's employing his critical thinking skills, which is good.
Yep. One of the things that nearly caused my head to explode, Stephen continues, I say, one of the things that nearly caused my head to explode as a libertarian was the realization that the centralization of the United States is a good thing and a bad thing at the same time.
How's it a good thing?
We know why it's bad, because concentrated power at the federal level decreases competition between the states, and we want competition between the states.
Mm-hmm.
If states had to compete on the basis of laws, taxes, etc., to attract people and businesses, presumably something like libertarianism would emerge as the dominant model. It's the cheapest thing, anyway. But, on the other hand, we benefit greatly by the fact that the states are powerless to do certain things, two in particular. They don't have their own money, meaning they can't press their own money,
mm-hmm.
and they can't pass.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree that that's a benefit at all, and that again would be yet another area that the states could compete with one another.
How hold on just a second. Do you think that with almost 200 nations in the world right now,
mm-hmm.
all of them that have their own currencies, those currencies are fiat, nothing-backed currencies, that somehow one of our states would come up with metal-backed currency? Or
there was
something
a plan on the table in New Hampshire not too long ago, as I understand it.
Right, by one guy that didn't go anywhere.
I don't know if it was one guy. I don't know what the amount of support was that had it, but it was on the table, and people were talking about it, and there's no reason why, with the advent of the Free State Project, that couldn't become a reality.
There's no reason why, with the advent of the Free State Project, that it couldn't become a reality anyway. We can trade in gold and silver. Anytime we darned well feel like it, we don't need the stamp of New Hampshire to do it.
Right,
it
you can't pay your taxes with it though, and some merchants won't accept it. And
but you can pay into warehouse companies that will exchange your silver and gold into Federal Reserve notes. You can use gold and silver to get by. E-Gold is essentially a company that allows you to do so.
Right, true.
Oh, I understand that. You can use gold and silver.
Well,
I'm just saying
don't fall into the...
that we have a central bank is a good thing is absurd.
I'm not saying that we...
That's what he's saying.
No, he's not. He's not saying that... he's saying that, you know, 50 states having their own currency is not going to be... is going to be difficult to get along with. I mean, living right on the border with Canada, you know what it's like when you get Canadian quarters and then your bank won't take them and all kinds of other stuff. Imagine if there was all these other currencies. You had to carry several different kinds of currencies around in your pocket to be able to do business in one state and the other state. I think that having one type of currency there are some advantages. I don't see that any of the states would necessarily make a good currency that's backed by real stuff just simply because they're competing against other states.
If you look at it in the currency paradigm, yes, but if you look at it in the paradigm of a warehouse certificate for so much metal, then it doesn't matter where it comes from. It's still an ounce of metal is an ounce of metal.
Right. He's not talking about that. He's talking about there's a good thing that the government is centralized. He's talking about a couple of good things about the government being centralized
so
over
good.
States.
Yeah.
The other thing is that they can't pass tariffs on each other. States were doing this at the time of the... Okay. I'm just saying, if you think that tariffs are a bad thing on the national level, states are likely to try to do it, too.
And the ones that do it are going to not do as well.
They'll suffer economically, like we were talking about earlier in the show. When they add tariffs, other states add more tariffs, and the economies die off. The smart states will have very, very little regulation, and their economies will boom.
The evidence is to the contrary in some ways in the United States. The economics is kind of slow. California is one of the most socialist places around. It's got the biggest regulations of any state in America.
And you know how many businesses have moved out of California?
Right, but economics are slow. So
what's your point?
Why isn't West Virginia booming? I'm sure they don't have the regulation that California does.
They also don't have the population that California does.
Where did the population that's moving out of California go?
They go
all
to Colorado.
The
they go to Washington State. They go to Oregon. They go to Idaho.
New Hampshire. Sure.
But I'm just saying that socialism is like a leech that comes after money.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you are principled, unless your state's principled, I don't know whether states are going to run to libertarianism simply because competition
is in
play.
I don't know either. Let's find out. Let's see what happens.
By doing what?
By getting rid of the federal government.
I'm not saying that getting rid of the federal government's a good or bad thing. I do think that tariffs between states would be a bad thing.
I agree with you. They'd be a bad thing, and let the states decide.
The evidence is, the preponderance of evidence is that they will decide to get tariffs.
Fine.
Okay.
Let them. They'll suffer economically. And
at least
lose
then
tax
we don't
base.
Have the federal tariffs to deal with. Thank goodness.
Would you agree with him that it's an advantage that we don't have those?
I think not having tariffs is a great thing, but we have plenty of tariffs at the federal level.
Great. Then you agree with him.
No, I don't. But go ahead.
This is essentially a giant free trade zone within the 50 states, and it's awesome. There's no doubt in my mind that much of our economic success is attributable to the fact that the 50 states are an economic union. So when they talk about creating an economic union, emerging currency with even more places, that isn't necessarily bad. I think having free trade and a single currency with Canada could be a good thing. With Mexico,
that'll be a way they can sell it. That'll be the way they can sell it. They can say, hey, now you don't have to exchange your currencies when you go to Canada. What a great idea.
But who benefits from that? You see, you're further centralizing the monetary power over a greater distance and a greater number of people, which makes it easy to skim more wealth off the top.
I don't think he's advocating it.
Right.
The central bankers benefit.
Right.
I don't think he's advocating
you
it.
Now, too. I've said this on the show before, that I've had friends and relatives who have traveled to Europe in recent years, and a lot of the people in Italy and in France are very upset with the euro because they got screwed on the deal.
Mm. Unfortunate. Any other thoughts from Stephen?
Nope, that's it.
All right, 800-259-9231. Let's roll on the phone calls. Talk to Jeremy in Iowa. Jeremy, listening to some secret radio station in Iowa. Hello there.
Hi, I basically use one.
Okay, I couldn't quite understand what he was saying there.
I'm sure it wasn't really thoughtful.
Well, all right. Let's go instead to Justin in Maryland. Justin, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello. Justin, going
on. Hey, how you doing?
What's on your mind?
You know, it's funny. I see this country becoming a police state all around me.
Yes, sir.
But yet, when I try to talk to people in my family or people on the street, they have this look in their eye like they just do not want to face it.
Like, if you say the terminology police state to them, that you're just, you're a wild-eyed crazy man and I don't want to talk to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, I tell them the things that are happening around us. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we're losing our freedoms with the Patriot Act and everything, and everyone knows this is going on. People are aware. But it's kind of like they're in this kind of state denial where they just don't want to face it.
They absolutely are.
Yeah, and sometimes it sinks in over a period of time. Sometimes you can't expect them to react the way you want right there when you say it. But if you plant seeds, if you drip on people and find ways to say it or get through to them, get these ideas through that don't seem so offensive or that don't make them put the wall up. Like the word police state is a pretty polarizing term and can scare people. So maybe find a different term to discuss the fact we're losing our freedoms.
But, you know, even if you are really careful with it, Wayne, there's this sort of attitude amongst a lot of people in America, as Mark would call them, the respectables, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are the people that they don't care if the police are cracking heads of protesters down in the city square because they would never be out protesting. Their lives are comfortable.
If they're upset, they write a letter to the editor.
Right, they're living comfortable, plush, posh lives, and they're never going to get down with the riffraff and get out and protest, so they wouldn't have to worry about the police state. Of course, you could point out that the police frequently break into the wrong people's homes and kick in the wrong people's doors.
But it's usually in the right neighborhood.
Shoot the wrong people. But yes, it is usually in the scummier neighborhoods. So therefore, again, they won't care about that. You know, I remember when I was having dinner with my aunt and uncle from Illinois, and I told them about this foie gras ban in the city of Chicago, which is this very, very sort of delicate dish. It's goose liver. And they had banned this from the state of Chicago. And I thought, well, they're a little more upper crust, my uncle and aunt. They're comfortable. And so shouldn't they care about something like this? You know, an upper crust sort of dish being banned? They didn't care. They said to me, well, we don't eat foie gras, so we think it's a great idea. And they could care less about the fact that their friends are losing their freedoms. As long as it doesn't affect them, nothing's happening. Is that what you're encountering, that sort of attitude?
Yes, pretty much. It's not like that. It's like even I come from the poor, lower class,
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just getting that kind of sense of, like, frightened denial, where it's so bad, so horrible, that they just don't want to face it.
Now, do you think that they don't want to face it because they're not interested in it, or they don't want to face it because they're scared of the repercussions of them believing that there
multiple
is a police
reasons.
State?
I've met people that do agree with me,
uh-huh.
And it takes a while to reach them. It really does, because I'm nervous. I'm scared, but I'm not. I'm scared in the sense that I'm brave as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know
right.
what I mean? Because I'm not gonna bow down. I'm not.
Well, the other thing you have to remember is that if you aren't making progress, forget about them and move on and find somebody who is responsive to what you're talking about. Because remember, in the times of the American Revolution, only a small percentage of Americans were considered revolutionaries. And so only a certain percentage of Americans are going to have that level of courage that you do. Most of them are going to want to stick their heads in the sand, go la 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 la, and pretend nothing's going on. Thanks for the call. Hour 3 is coming up. You take control. It's Free Talk Live.
George Phillies is the right candidate for president, a serious, well-educated candidate who stands for the basic principles of liberty and the basic principles of this nation. You know the old adage, if you keep doing the same thing, you will get the same results. The choice this election year is simple, more of the same or real change. For peace, prosperity, and liberty, go to www.phillies2008.org.
Paid for by Phillies 2008. This is George Phillies, Libertarian for President. I approved of this message.
Hi, Ted Anderson here. I'm happy to announce that the audience has increased over 200% this year, and our advertisers have sent testimonials complimenting the responsiveness. Sponsorship is critical at both local and national levels. If you have a business, product, or message that could benefit from this broadcast locally, call the station you're listening to. For national exposure, call 877-996-4327. Become a part of the Genesis team by calling your local station or call the national line at 877-996-4327.